Hey there,
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica, and this is All Things Sensory by Harkla. Together, we're on a mission to help children, families, therapists, and educators live happy, healthy lives.
We dive into all things sensory, special needs, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and so much more. In each episode, we share raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for everyone to implement into daily life.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey everyone, Rachel and Jessica here, and we wanted to share some exciting news that we have here at Harkla.
So April is Autism Awareness Month, and we at Harkla are celebrating that because we are all about helping those with autism as well as everyone else.
Everyone in between, yes. So we are hosting a giveaway that runs from April 1st to April 18th, and we are drawing daily winners for 13 days.
So there will be a total of 16 winners because there's also going to be four prizes on the last day. Now, different prizes for these giveaways include a compression swing or a weighted blanket or a supplement.
And we're giving away over $3,000 in winnings. So how do you enter the giveaway?
So all you have to do is go to harkla.co/giveaway. And that's harkla.co/giveaway.
Okay, go enter and good luck. And we're so excited. Welcome back. If you are a lifer, welcome. Welcome if you're new here. I am Rachel.
Oh, and I'm Jessica.
And this is All Things Sensory by Harkla, and you are listening to episode 147.
147 episodes. I was just telling Rachel today that what's it going to be like when we get to like 1,000 episodes?
Welcome to episode 1,347.
Oh my gosh. We might not go that far.
Oh, we will.
Okay.
Why not?
Sure. Let's do it.
We have that many things to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we definitely do.
So today, we are talking, and I'm honestly surprised that it's taken us this long to talk about this topic, but we're talking about body awareness, mid-range control, and force modulation.
Yeah, so three different topics, but they relate to each other and they're like intertwined. So if you struggle with body awareness, you're probably going to struggle with force modulation. If you struggle with force modulation, you're going to struggle with mid-range control. And it's like a circle.
The circle of life. I'm just kidding.
Basically. The circle of challenge.
No. It is. It's like a cute little triad that you have to think about when, as a therapist, you are addressing these challenges with a client, or if you're a parent and you're trying to figure out what the heck is going on, why is your child having these challenges? So we're going to do just a quick overview of what these terms are, what they look like in your kiddo, what they look like if your child is struggling, and then, of course, some activities and strategies to try to make a difference.
Because that's why you're here.
Yeah.
Now, preface this episode by saying you might hear some baby noises in the background because Trip is here with us today. I already told him to stop yelling, but he kind of just does his own thing.
Yes. Thank you guys for understanding. We warned you this time last year that things were going to get crazy with the baby and podcasting.
Yeah. That's just life.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's start with body awareness. What is body awareness?
I feel like it's a term that gets thrown out a lot when... You know, everyone doesn't always have a body awareness challenge if you flop your body around or if you're crashing. I just think that it's a very specific challenge that needs to be addressed in a therapeutic setting.
Yeah, so body awareness is basically your body's ability to recognize and understand where it is in space. So your muscles and your joints send information to your brain about where your body is and how it's moving. So this might sound a lot like proprioception or the proprioceptive system, which they kind of are the same a little bit.
Yeah, they're like super intertwined and connected because proprioception, first of all, go back and listen to our episode about the topic of proprioception. We'll link that in the show notes. But prope, we say prope is the awareness of the position and movement in the body. So in that sense, body awareness and proprioception are technically the same thing.
Yeah. But proprioception goes farther than that because proprioceptive input is also heavy work and compression, deep pressure. So proprioception goes a lot farther than body awareness.
Yes, but it's a great way to address body awareness, which we will go into later. So we're going to just dive into like how it connects to the other systems of the body and kind of what we see with our kiddos who struggle.
Also really quick, body awareness and the proprioceptive system are directly related to the tactile system. Yes. So just keep that in mind.
Some signals that you might see if your kiddo struggles with body awareness, they might be clumsy. So they might bump into objects while they're moving in their environment. They might trip, they might fall. They might just be described as a klutz.
Yeah. They're going to struggle with coordination for age-appropriate tasks. So things like riding a bike or eating with utensils, just overall coordination of their body is going to be decreased.
They're also probably going to play too rough with their peers or siblings, even after being told or shown how to play differently. They just lack that awareness to know what their body is doing. And it's not that they're doing it on purpose. They're not trying to hurt anyone. They just struggle with knowing where their body is in space.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I'm trying to like think of a, like a relatable term. Like, you know, if you're inebriated, if you drink and you are kind of just walk up the stairs when you're inebriated, or if you don't drink, you know.
That was a great example though.
Spin around in a circle 10 times and then try to go up the stairs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't. You don't have the body awareness.
Yeah, you're clumsy. You're struggling. You don't have the coordination. Exactly. Going along with coordination, you might struggle with daily tasks like getting dressed, wiping, using the bathroom, eating, all of those things that you have to move your body in a coordinated way and interact with different things in your environment, that's going to be a big struggle.
Yeah. And I do have an example that I thought of, which is putting on chapstick with your eyes closed.
I mean, I could do it because when I put chapstick on, I'm not looking at my lips.
But a person who struggles with body awareness, they're going to like put the chapstick on their nose by accident.
Or just like all over their face. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Which, you know, you think about, that would be miserable.
Oh, yeah. You know? I wouldn't like that at all.
No. So we always want you guys to empathize with us. That is so important with these kids.
Yes. So if your kiddo struggles with body awareness, if they have poor body awareness, what can you do?
So we told you that it's connected to the proprioceptive sense. So you're going to do more heavy work, more proprioceptive activities throughout the day.
Prop it out.
So if you have a sensory diet, if you're working on a sensory diet, then you can incorporate these activities into that sensory diet. But also know that these activities are going to help to organize the nervous system. So things like animal walks, obstacle courses. I love when someone will steamroll me with a therapy ball.
For sure.
Things like push-ups, crawling. Just think about the compression and stretching to the joints and muscles.
Also, try completing more bilateral coordination tasks. So jumping jacks and like snow angels are a great place to start coordinating both arms together, both legs together, but then also arms and legs together. Also try cross crawls, which if you're not familiar with cross crawls, I'll see if I can describe it really quick. Oh, you know what? This is a better way to explain it. Think about bicycle crunches. When you're laying on your back and you're doing bicycle crunches, cross crawls are basically bicycle crunches standing up.
Yes, you're just crossing midline. So your right elbow is touching your left knee.
Yes, and you're not like bending over. You're also going to try to do it maintaining that upright posture so you're activating your core muscles. But anything that you can do to coordinate the arms and legs together.
Yeah. Yeah. In addition, we want to work on tasks without the use of vision. So we love sensory bins with a blindfold on. We love asking a child to touch a certain body part without looking. So close your eyes and touch your pinky to your nose.
Oh, that one's a tricky one. That's a good one.
And then also completing familiar tasks with a blindfold on. So putting a blindfold on and eating breakfast, you know, maybe it's a bowl of cereal. So you're not like cutting toast or something like that, you know,
brushing. Don't be smart about this. Yeah. Okay.
Brushing your teeth with your eyes closed or with your opposite hand. Getting dressed with your eyes closed, you know, all of those things will help to improve that body awareness because the goal is to improve the awareness of where you're at in space.
We just want to take a minute and talk to you about our company, Harkla. Our mission at Harkla is to help those with special needs live happy, healthy lives. Not only do we accomplish this through the podcast, but we also have therapy products, easy to follow digital courses, and the Harkla Sensory Club to try to bring holistic care to you and your family.
Listeners of the All Things Sensory podcast get 10% off their first purchase at Harkla with the discount code SENSORY. We'd recommend checking out some of our best sellers like the Compression Sensory Swing, Weighted Blankets, or our course on sensory diets.
And here's the best part. 1% of each sale gets donated to the University of Washington Autism Center to support autism research and fund scholarships to families in need to receive in-clinic therapy for their child.
Learn more about Harkla and all we have to offer at harkla.co. That's harkla.co. And don't forget to use the discount code SENSORY to get 10% off your first purchase. That's SENSORY for 10% off.
And the best part is all Harkla orders come with a lifetime guarantee and free shipping.
You really can't beat that.
No,
you can't. Okay, let's get back to the show. Okay, so a couple of other strategies that you can use to help improve body awareness is vibration. So, you know, those like massage,
homedics,
vibrating massagers. Those are great to use on arms and legs and your back. And I love this one with like littler kids, like toddlers, and you're maybe singing a song like, this is your arm, or like make something up, you know? And so that you're giving the words of that body part while you're giving the vibration to that body part to make that association.
Yeah, there's also vibrating weights, but like bands that go on your legs and your arms that are cool.
Yes, those are super cool.
And then ankle weights and wrist weights. We like to put those on opposite arms and legs as well.
Yes, that's a good one. Weighted vests, compression vests give that proprioceptive input to the body to help with body awareness. And then if you have listened to us before, you know how much we talk about video feedback because video feedback is so beneficial.
Yeah, we use it for everyone.
Everyone, everything. Yeah.
So if I'm doing a new exercise or something like that and I don't know what I'm doing, I have to like, I'll either like set up my camera so I can see what I'm doing or find a mirror and do it in front of the mirror. Yep. So that way I know how my form is.
Yeah, get that visual feedback. Mm-hmm.
So one other thing that I thought was kind of fun to incorporate as an activity in your household is like stack like red Solo cups up around your house. And, you know, if the kiddo bumps into them or knocks them over on accident, have them complete an activity that you've written in the bottom of the cups so they realize.
And this would just be something that you would just like have around the house. Like maybe your kid helps you set it up and you're just going about your daily routine. And if somebody bumps a cup over, like anyone in the house, then they have to do it.
Absolutely.
Maybe when they bump the cup over and they do the exercise, they can put the cup in a new place.
Yes, that's fun.
You just have to make sure. I could see some kids like intentionally knocking the cups over. So like make some rules on it or something. Like make it a competition to see who can knock down the least amount of cups or something.
There you go. Yep.
So I don't know.
Super fun.
Okay.
So let's move on to force modulation, which is another word for graded movement.
So this is knowing, understanding how much force to use for a specific task. This is directly related to our body awareness, proprioception, and tactile processing. We told you they're all connected.
Yep. So some signals that you can look for if a kiddo might be struggling with force modulation is they, first of all, use too much force. So these are the kids who maybe push too hard, pulls too hard, plays too rough, breaks things easily. They break their pencil lead. They break their paper because they're erasing too hard, things like that.
Now, the opposite of that is going to be a kiddo who uses too little force. And you kind of do have to use some problem solving to determine, are they using too little force because they don't have the strength, mm-hmm. or is it because they don't know how much force to use? So maybe they're not able to push or pull hard enough to successfully complete a task.
Yeah, I will say that most of the time we see too much force with this one.
Yes.
So like we said, it's all connected. These kiddos are probably going to have poor body awareness as well. And they're going to struggle with voice modulation, which means that exactly. which means they talk too loudly or too softly, even after they've had a demo or they've been told, hey, you need to talk louder, or hey, you need to talk quieter, mm-hmm. hey, can you match my voice? And they can't.
Yeah. Another sign that they might struggle with force modulation is that their arousal level may be consistently too high or too low for a given situation. So for example, a child in the classroom needs to be more calm, but their arousal level is way too high for that situation. Mm-hmm. Vice versa, maybe a kiddo is out on the playground and their arousal level is really, really low when it should be a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that example. So what can you do if your child struggles with this? How can you improve it? When in doubt, probe it out.
Every time, get more proprioceptive activities into their day. These activities give feedback to the joints and muscles. It improves body awareness, which then improves the ability to interact with the environment with the right amount of force.
I don't want to say that proprioception is a cure-all.
It solves everything.
But it really is the most regulating sense, and we can target a lot of these skills with proprioceptive input.
And I mean, there is that whole idea of you can't really overdo proprioceptive input. It's the only sense, the only sensory system that you can't get too much of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
another way that you can work on this is to practice and role play and use social stories. Yeah. So keep in mind that you don't want to do this necessarily in the moment of when your child is talking too loudly or pushing too hard with their paper, because they're probably going to get frustrated. So that's why we want to practice and role play at different times when they're not actually going to be upset that you're working on it with them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But also, sometimes we just need to teach our kids what's expected in different situations. So if your child has never experienced a specific situation before, they don't know how to interact with that situation. Excuse me, sir. Sometimes we just need to teach our kiddos what is expected in different situations. You know, if your child has never experienced a specific activity or a specific situation, they don't know how to behave in that situation. So sometimes we do just need to teach them.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Unfortunately, you know, they don't learn these things. Sometimes they learn these things without being taught, but a majority of the time we do have to take the time to actually teach them.
You know, I think about the first time a kiddo goes to the library. You know, maybe they're so excited by all the books and all the other kids around that they start yelling and screaming and running around. Well, they've never been to the library, so they don't know what's expected. So all you have to do is just teach them what's expected. Mm-hmm. Now, for our kiddos who really, truly do struggle in these areas, you might need to practice more often. You might need to practice in a variety of settings. You might need extra reminders on a regular basis. You know, you might just have to do a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So one other thing that we need, a couple more things actually, we need to incorporate more postural control and strength-based tasks. So there's this saying in occupational therapy that you can't have distal control without proximal stability, which means we have to have a stable core, stable trunk in order to have distal control or control with our fingertips. So if you're asking a child to write with the appropriate amount of force and they don't have that postural control yet, well, then you're asking them an impossible task.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you need to do more activities that activate that core in order to build that strength and stability in the core.
Yes. Now, we also want to incorporate visuals with this. So like Jessica was saying earlier, you're at the library, you might need a visual card or a social story or a visual cue between the two of you. So when their voice starts to get a little bit too loud, then you can tap your shoulder and they know, oh, my voice, that means I need to bring it down a little bit.
Yep.
Things like that.
Yeah, that's a great strategy too. I like having the picture too of like, maybe you have a picture of a child screaming and a picture of a child sitting quietly on, you know, whatever. And they have to choose the one that matches the situation. And you can even turn it into a game or something.
So incorporating like chores and activities into the child's routine that can help facilitate that improved force modulation are things like taking out the trash, washing windows, playing with a balloon, because they have to use the right amount of force with those activities in order to be successful. And, you know, if you're playing with a balloon, not pop the balloon or not hit the balloon too hard or too soft.
I do love that. I love balloon volleyball and even playing catch or throwing to a target where you can discuss the situation as it's happening even and ask the child, hey, how did you hit that? Did you hit it too hard, too soft, or just right? And see if they can verbally tell you how much force they used, but then also can they reflect back and say, next time I'm going to use this amount of force instead.
I love that one.
I know,
so much.
It's so good.
Like when we're swinging and throwing an object to a target, you know, and the child overthrows and you have to ask them, did you throw it too hard, too soft, or just right? And if they don't know, then that is a sign that they have no idea what their body is doing. They don't know how to modulate the force and make changes, because that's the whole challenge with force modulation is they have to be able to make the changes in order to be successful.
Yep.
So there you go.
So good.
Okay. And the last topic we are going to cover in this episode is mid-range control.
So this is the ability to move through a movement with control.
So moving your arm with control in order to complete a task, as well as your hands, and it's away from your body. So you aren't relying on a stabilizer. So you aren't resting your arm on the desk while you're stacking the block or things like that.
Now, mid-range control is related to the skeletal and muscular systems because it requires that movement piece through space. But then it's also related to muscle tone more than it is to muscle strength, right? So muscle tone is the muscle tension at rest, and it provides us with the ability to maintain an upright posture and use effective mid-range control for a variety of tasks.
We did do a podcast episode on the difference between muscle tone and muscle strength. So make sure that you pop back and listen to that episode if you are confused about the difference. We'll link that in the show notes as well.
Yes.
So some signals that we can often see when a child struggles with mid-range control are things like poor ability to complete fine motor tasks like handwriting, stacking blocks, feeding themselves, dressing themselves, doing buttons and zippers, and things like that.
You might also notice some shakiness during fine motor tasks. Now, we don't want to confuse these with intention tremors because that is a little bit different. Mid-range control is very, you know, like I said, related to that muscle tone. So if your child has low muscle tone, they might be a little bit shaky when they're trying to do a controlled fine motor task.
But again, these kiddos with low muscle tone are still going to struggle with that mid-range control. So they still need, even though they have low muscle tone, it's not necessarily like saying, oh, they're going to have poor mid-range control no matter what. You can still work on mid-range control with these low-tone kiddos.
And improve it,
absolutely.
Yeah. And this also goes back to the fact that typically, if you have low muscle tone, you might also have laxity in your joints, which is going to take away that stability component.
Yeah, so true. So what can you do to help your kiddo improve their mid-range control? Guess what number one is?
Guess what it is? We'll give you a second to think about it.
Did you get it?
Did you get it? Did you say proprioceptive input?
Yeah.
If you sure didn't, then you probably should start this episode over and try again.
So you want to use...
I was joking. Sorry. Okay.
So use weight on objects, things like a pencil weight or weighted eating utensils or even just wrist weights. That will provide more feedback to the joints and muscles to help stabilize for improved mid-range control. So you can also practice just eating with utensils, cutting foods with a fork and knife, bringing it to your mouth, like bringing a spoonful of soup to your mouth.
You need such good mid-range control for that.
Yes. So just practicing that and incorporating it into play, not necessarily just at the table during mealtimes.
Yes. So then also using visual feedback can be helpful. So if we're using that example of bringing a spoon to your mouth, have a mirror at the table with you so that your child can see what their body's doing. Again, this all relates back to body awareness and force modulation, understanding where the spoon is, where it needs to go, how it's going to get there. And just having that visual feedback can also help with that mid-range control.
And of course, a child's occupation is play. So we're going to work on this skill through games.
Oh my gosh, Suspend is such a good game. Yes,
it is.
Oh my gosh.
Jenga.
Oh yes.
Stacking block towers is just the most classic, simple way to work on it. But also hammering games. So using a hammer to like break ice or hammer a nail into a potato, things like that.
All good things. Such great things.
Yes.
All right. Hopefully this episode was informative and helpful.
And not too obnoxious having the child in the background.
No, everyone loves babies, right? Right.
Yeah. All right, friends. Thank you so much for your questions. This was actually a question that we got from someone who had recommended us doing a podcast on body awareness.
We are podcast DJs.
We are.
Yes.
Ask and you shall receive.
Yes, indeed. Unless it's something we've already talked about, of course. But if we haven't talked about it, let us know and we're going to do it.
Okay, friends, thank you for being here, and we will chat with you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to All Things Sensory by Harkla. If you want more information on anything we mentioned in the show, head over to harkla.co/podcast to get all of the show notes.
We always have the show notes and links, plus full transcripts to make following along as easy as possible for everyone. If you have follow-up questions, the best place to ask those is in the comments on the show notes or message us on our Instagram account, which is @Harkla_family. If you just search Harkla, you'll find us.
Like we mentioned before, our podcast listeners get 10% off their first order at Harkla, whether it's for one of our digital courses, one of our sensory swings. The discount code SENSORY will save you 10%. That code is SENSORY. Head over to harkla.co/sensory to use that code right now so you don't forget.
We're so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Just a friendly reminder, this is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, and sensory integration. We do not know you or your child, therefore we do not know any specific needs. Therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist for more information.